Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning. It is 7:35 in the morning, 21st November, Tuesday, and I'm Kusu Chung, joined by Brian Fernandez. And now, of course, Brian, you will be talking to Tony Nash, the Chief Economist and Chief Executive of the data analytics firm Complete Intelligence.
Good morning, Tony. Merkel's attempt to form a coalition government has hit a roadblock. But on the other hand of the spectrum, we've got the German economy that's really humming along nicely, 2.5% growth, strong business confidence, full employment and fiscal surplus. Unemployment rate last month was at 5.6%, the lowest since reunification almost a quarter of a century ago. What's your view on the political uncertainty in Germany in the near term?
Well, I think, thanks for having me this morning. I think one of the more interesting parts to look at in the German economy is wages. German wages have really been suppressed for about a decade, and it's really starting to wear on the German people. And when you look at the immigration over the last few years, the wave of immigration, it's really impacted the perception of wages as well. So you have wages surging in Eastern Europe, and in Germany, they're pretty suppressed. So our view is that really a lot of these roots are in the overarching kind of nationalist sentiment that really started in Asia with Abe and Modi and then moved into the West. And this is really hitting Germany now. So it's a mix of political and economic issues hitting Europe.
Now, given that Germany and its leadership role in the EU, given this political uncertainty, how do you think it would impact the Eurozone as a whole and also the Euro in particular?
Yeah, you know, you may have political impact in the Euro, say, for a very short sentimental period of, you know, minutes or maybe a couple hours or something. But we really see that Europe, it already started a downtrend a couple weeks ago. We see that moderately progressing over the next few months, but then we see it accelerating, say, in middle of first quarter. You know, we've really had appreciation in the euro over the last year. So by about April, we see the euro returning to its 96 cents or so, the region that it had been for quite some time. We may see a bit of depreciation beyond that, but I think that would be pretty short term.
What is your view on the Eurozone as a whole? We've had really strong growth after many, many years of poor growth prospects for the Eurozone. Are you a bull or a bear?
Well, you know, we're coming to the end of bullishness in Europe. We really think that the European expansion is on its last leg. So, in 2018, we see continental Europe really starting to slow down again. This assumes that not much changes with the ECB and the monetary expansion. On the other side of the coin, we see the UK actually doing pretty well starting middle of next year. So there you start to see a separation of those economies. You know, Europe is still mired down in a lot of debt. There are still a lot of structural issues in Europe that just haven't been dealt with, or they've been papered over with loose monetary policy. So Europe has a lot to contend with before it can build a strong structural basis for economic growth.
Now let's move on to the U.S. and the Trump administration is now investigating trade sanctions or enforcement actions against China, with the goal of really fundamentally challenging Chinese trade practices. What are the key concessions they are looking for, and what's your view on whether or not this dispute will escalate beyond just saber-rattling?
Well, what they really want is transparency around export subsidies and export credits, tax credits. You know, that is between, say, 15 and 25% of the value of Chinese exports. And when you look at wages and the cost of manufacturing, in much of the manufacturing belt in China, without those export subsidies and tax credits, those export industries are just not competitive. In fact, it's more expensive than Malaysia to manufacture in much of the industrial zones of many of the industrial zones of China without the export subsidies and export credits. So what the U.S. is saying is, look, China's exporting a lot of electronics equipment and a lot of, say, auto parts and these sorts of things to the U.S. and Mexico and other NAFTA areas. If China had to be transparent about its export subsidies, they would not be as competitive as many people think. And so from the Trump administration, you have to remember that Trump campaigned on wages and jobs. Everything comes back to wages and jobs. So if he exposes a lack of competitiveness on behalf of China, then that can potentially create jobs and raise wages in the U.S. And that is really Donald Trump's full endgame. There are no hard feelings on China. There are no hard feelings on anybody he's negotiating against. He simply wants to create jobs and raise wages in the U.S.
Now, China's financial watchdogs unveiled on Friday a plan to overhaul regulation of asset management products, which hold about $15 trillion U.S. dollars and are seen as threats to stability in the economy. What is your view on this move to rein its shadow banking system?
Well, the Chinese authorities and regulators have been focused on this for about 5 years. Wen Jiabao's administration really focused on this as well toward the very, very end. And so what they're really trying to do is reduce the risk for those middle and low income investors who put things into wealth management products. They started this with things like certificates of deposit a few years ago and other products to help bring some transparency to that whole borrowing and lending ecosystem. But, you know, so this is just another kind of plank in that plan to bring legitimacy to what is shadow banking. So I think this is a progression. I think, sure, it'll bring some of the air and some of the inflated kind of returns out of shadow banking. And I think in the end, it really is a good thing. You have to have a transparent banking system in order to give the credibility that investors can have and the confidence that they'll have to be able to invest and to be able to get their money back. Now, China has other investment issues in terms of where can people invest legally, how can they invest legally, what financial products can they invest in, and how convertible is their currency. So it's not, shadow banking is not an isolated problem. The problem with shadow banking is linked to many, many other issues in the Chinese investment ecosystem.
Now, Tony, last question. What's your view on the direction of oil prices in 2018, given the fact that we are now in a 60-plus US dollar range and next week OPEC producers are meeting and will likely extend production cuts?
Sure. So we do big data, our artificial intelligence forecasting. So our AI is telling us that oil prices will continue to moderately rise through first quarter, maybe early second quarter of 2018. Okay. In mid to late 2018, those prices start to come off a bit. So some of that is due to dollar appreciation, U.S. dollar appreciation. Some of that is due to demand not meeting what's expected. Some of that comes from competition from U.S. Refiners and supply, and some of that comes from OPEC and the kind of lack of capability or ongoing capability of the OPEC rules that are in place. So we see things staying pretty healthy through March, April, kind of that neighborhood, and after that we start to see prices come off a bit.
Thanks for your insights, Tony. That was Tony Nash, Chief Economist and CEO of Complete Intelligence.
We'll be coming back with some business news, including the fact that Putrajaya is now doing a flip-flop on DBKL housing permits, as well as how Alibaba is moving back into brick and mortar. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.